your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. I am lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Praise the Lord. I hope that's why you come to the house of God this afternoon, to see Him. Amen. How many love the Lord this afternoon?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. It's good to be back with you again.
Amen.
It's good to be back in the Georgia heat again.
Yeah.
So winter hasn't officially finished up in Canada.
Yeah.
When we got there, the day we got there, it snowed about 5 or 6 inches. And they said they had been about 2 or 3 weeks since they had gotten any snow. Of course, they had already. You go around, they said, "I'm so tired of this snow." That's what the people tell you, you know. But then they had not gotten about two or three weeks. It had not snowed, even though it had been cold temperatures. And they said, "Well, you came from Georgia, and you must have brought snow with you."
Yeah.
I said, "From where?"
Yeah.
But at least I got to see some snow this year. I had to go to Canada to see it, because you sure didn't see it this year, hardly. So maybe some of you that live closer here to the mountains probably, but not up there in Braselton and those areas. We didn't get anything. So, but it was nice, and so we certainly enjoyed the trip, you know, visiting my wife's family and seeing the little baby, that a new family member that's come, and she's healthy, she's doing good, and my sister-in-law, she's doing good. They're all doing good. And I was able to, I got to preach at Brother John Danquist's church over there in Toronto. And we really had a good time. It was a blessing. And I certainly think that the Lord, you know, He speaks, you know, and you not knowing anything, because you don't go to the church. And he speaks and, for, you know, directly to needs that need to be met. So we appreciate the Lord for doing that. And so we certainly had a good time. Those people up there, you know, just majority of them are African. So, you know, they're, they love worship. So you get along in there with you, and you just get right on in. There's no way for you to stay still. But we had a good time. And they all send greetings to you all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go to the Word this afternoon, and I'm going to try my best not to keep you too long tonight, but I have a little something I want to bring out, and I hope that you enjoy it and that you may get a blessing out of it. Amen? So sometimes it's difficult for me to... There's some messages, you know, that you just preach. You'll preach, but then some, you know, you just kind of wrestle with. But I got this, I just started thinking on this thought coming back from Canada. I was listening to The Seed Is Not Air with a Shuck, and Lord just put this thought on my heart. So you pray for me and see how the Lord leads. Amen. In Luke chapter 2 verse 40, start at verse 40, it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit," speaking of Jesus Christ, "filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it."
Amen.
That's really strange.
Yeah.
That's their child. And they knew not where he was at. And they knew that he wasn't just any child. Mary knew because the angel came to her and told them, this son is going to be conceived by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't even Joseph's son. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. A day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, so now we're about 4 days here. Because if it was a day's journey when they realized that they had lost him, then it's a day's journey going back to Jerusalem. And then they got to Jerusalem, they couldn't find him. Then 3 days later, they found him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Praise the Lord. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of the word. Let's just pray before we get seated. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this, for the word, Lord, that you've allowed us to read tonight, Father. Now, Lord, I just give myself, Father God, to you, Lord, that you'd speak, Father God, what needs to be spoken. And Lord, you say, Father God, the things that need to be said, Lord, to edify the body of Christ, Lord, and to bring you glory and honor, Father God. I'm subject to you, Lord. I can't do nothing unless you're the one that does it, Father. And so, Lord, I ask, Father, that you would just also be in our midst and meet every need amongst us, and we commit the service into your hands. Open our ears of our understanding that we may understand your word this evening. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to title this, if I give it a title, it's a must to be about the Father's business. It's a must because it's what Jesus said. I must be about my Father's business, right? Amen. And so we see here that in starting here at verse 42 that Jesus was 12 years old, very young. Amen. And I have a 12-year-old daughter. And I can imagine, you know, how, you know, Jesus at that age was already growing and had a certain knowledge, because remember, he came, amen, he came already, he was the Messiah. Amen. But we know that he was anointed, amen, at the River Jordan. Amen. But he was God the whole time. Amen. And so we see here that at 12 years old, he was already manifesting this to the people. Amen. Even to his parents. And it says here in verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. In other words, they went to church. Amen. And they took their children to church too. You see? And they took Jesus to church. Amen. They were there doing exactly what they needed to do. Amen. And so in verse 43 it says, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Amen. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Amen. Right. Praise the Lord. It astonishes me that they didn't realize that at one moment Jesus was with them and then the next moment it wasn't with them. Yeah. Right. And so we see, because in the next verse we see that they were trying to search with him, because what happened during that time, and I'll show you a map here in just a moment, but during that time people would travel long ways in almost like caravans. Sure. Yeah. And the reason why they would do that was because there were so many thieves and so many robbers and so many people they would want to hurt. If you traveled individually, you might get robbed. Amen. You might get, you know, a lady might get raped or something. You know, something wrong would happen. But if they would travel in a caravan, right, we hear that word a lot nowadays. Yeah. A caravan amongst a group of people, then the people would feel much safer. Right. Yeah. So it must have been a lot of people that were traveling with them, because they were traveling with maybe Joseph's and maybe Mary's family members. They were all going to Jerusalem to partake of the feast. And so all of a sudden they did what they did needed to do in Jerusalem. And as they were traveling back to Nazareth, they traveled the whole day and Jesus was not around. So Joseph and Mary started looking for him. Amen. Their son started looking for him. And sometimes, saints, I wonder if they could do that with Jesus. Amen. How much sometimes our own children, if we don't pay attention to what's going on in their lives. Amen. Sometimes if we're not involved in our children's lives, they're lost and you don't even realize it. Because you're consumed by what, by your own goal. You have a goal in mind. Oh, my children are fine. But you don't realize something Satan might be working behind the scenes. You think everything is fine and dandy. But Satan might be working behind the scenes. And so they started looking for Jesus amongst their kinfolks and amongst their acquaintance. Looking among the caravan. Where is Jesus? Where is he? Have you seen him? Isn't he? I thought when we left, he was right there walking behind you. Yeah. Well, he was. But then all of a sudden, he's not. Yeah. Well, so they were searching. They probably got frantic. So frantic that the Bible says that they returned back to Jerusalem to look for him, right?
Right,
amen. Praise the Lord. So just moving along, amen. So we see here that when they got to Jerusalem, that after 3 days, amen. After 3 days, they found him in the temple.
Right, right.
Amen. Sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions.
Right.
Amen. Now, I like that because, you know, Jesus wasn't just there just to talk to them.
Amen.
He wasn't just there just wanting to give every, you know, he's the one who's got, I'm God, so you got to listen to me. No, he was there asking questions and listening.
Right.
Amen. Praise God. And you know what, saints? If you want people to listen to you, you listen to them.
Right.
You want people to respect you and to listen to you, listen to them.
Amen.
But sometimes we're so stuck on our word. And what, you know, and we don't let nobody else say anything while we're talking with them, you know? And it's just what I think. And then when it's time for us to give what we want to say, well, you can't because they're overriding you. But Jesus, that wasn't Jesus. Jesus was right here. He was listening and asking questions. Amen. But of course, the Bible says here in verse 47, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers, which must have meant that he was also being asked questions and he was giving them answers. Right. Praise the Lord. Now going back to verse 45, and they found him, back to verse 45, and when they found him not, when they were amongst their, looking amongst their kinfolks, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Amen. I wonder sometimes, saints, that if, you know, with our own children or with our own, you know, we've given them to the Lord, you know, we've committed them to the Lord. This just goes for all the parents, you know, including me. Because saints, you know, I'm not, if my children, they don't have their own experience with God, I can't lead them. I can lead them up to a certain point, but they have to have their own experience with God. Amen. But don't think because they come to Lula that they're going to just automatically get the Holy Ghost. Or because they go to a youth camp that's it. You know, God's going to, I am for anything that will help them get closer to God. Youth camps including everything, you see? Bring them to church, amen. Do whatever you need to do, amen. But it's ultimately up to them to serve the Lord and make that decision. You can't make that decision for them. And you can't be their Holy Ghost the rest of their life. Amen. Sometimes we get so comfortable in our ways and forget that our children need God. Our children need the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their life. That they need a new birth. Just like you and I had to get a new birth. Amen. Oh my, here comes Brother Luis again. Oh, we were so, it was fine when Brother Dale and Brother Wade, we were in, but here comes Brother Luis now. Oh. I was going to preach whatever God puts in my heart, right? Amen. So it's our responsibility. I was telling the church up there, saints, that, you know, God has given us the responsibility of our children, you see? He's given them to us, right? To nurture them, to take care of them, to train them in the ways that they should go. And God, you're going to answer to God if you don't.
Right.
If you don't train them in the ways of the Bible, if you don't train them in the ways of the Word, you're going to have to answer for that.
Right?
Right? Amen. But if you've done everything you could and they still go astray, then that's between them and God.
Right.
You see?
Exactly.
That's between them and God.
Right.
They'll have to answer for that.
Right.
Amen. So, I'm not saying here that nothing like that would ever happen to my daughters. It could. But I'm just putting them in the hands of God. And that's all we can do as parents, and do everything we can on our part to help them grow in God. Amen? To let, you know, get them involved in things that would help them grow in the Lord. You see what I'm saying? I said last time, I said, you know, Brother Joe, I appreciate what he's doing with these tape quizzes.
Right, man, yeah.
That's awesome.
Man.
But really, really, how many of you are really involved doing these tape quizzes with your children?
Yeah.
Amen. So it's up to you, saints, to realize and to understand what are your kids involved. Amen. Because God gave them to us. And so, I got to give them their space. I got to give them their time, you know, their space, and they have to have, you know. But you know what? As long as they're living in your house, saints,
yeah.
You do what I do here. What I do here, and if you don't like it, you
right.
go find your own place.
That's right.
If you can,
that's right.
If you can,
right.
Because I'm the one who has to answer for you
Amen.
Before God.
Right.
You see, you go astray because of me? No. No, you're not going astray because of me. Amen. You go astray because you want to go astray.
Right.
But as long as you're here amongst our home, amen, you're going to do what the things that
right.
we do at our
amen.
Home, right?
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Exactly.
That's the way it should go, because saints, Satan's gone to one extreme. Right?
Yeah.
He's gone to the other extreme, and we need to go to the other extreme.
Amen. Yeah. Right.
Amen. In order to protect our children, amen.
Right.
The most that we can. Praise God. Amen. And so, let's just continue reading here. And when they saw him, in verse 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrow.
Right.
Amen. The brother Joe, if you could, or some, whoever's back there, can you bring up the map that, and you apologize, saints, I'm going back and forth. Different things, but I just want you to get a visual to show you how long Nazareth is from Jerusalem. Here's Nazareth. This is where they started from. And this is Jerusalem right down here. Now, the Bible said, now, according to Google Maps, that's about 95 and a half miles. And it's in car, you can get there in about an hour and 45 minutes. But they didn't have cars back then, obviously. So you see, they had to go through mountains. And really, from the things that I was reading, a lot of them, they would avoid going through Samaria. Because they didn't want to have anything to do with the Samaritans. So they would take long ways to get to, usually around this route, to get to Jerusalem. So that's the reason why the Bible says that they had already went a day's journey. So really, probably they might have traveled even longer than a day. I don't know, maybe a day's journey walking and riding on donkeys could have been just right here to Ephraim.
Right, right.
You see? So they traveled a long way.
Exactly.
But a day's journey, they traveled and they had left Jesus behind.
Yeah.
I wonder how many sometimes, saints, if we're traveling on this road and we forget that we left Jesus behind.
Yeah,
traveling on this to our goal.
Yeah.
Our goal is heaven, right?
Right?
Our goal is to be like Christ.
Amen.
Our goal is to be more like this word.
Amen.
And we forget the basics of this word.
Amen.
The things that really matter, because we get so consumed with everything else. And not get consumed with the things that really matter that's going to help us grow.
Right.
And one of those things is coming to church.
Right.
One of those things is coming to church every day. I mean, you come to church every day, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But whenever these church doors are open,
right.
How are you going to grow in Christ? The prophet said, read the Bible and pray every day.
Right.
Amen. Listen to the word. Praise God. Not just one day out of the year, amen, but every single day be engaged in the word. Brothers can turn that off. Amen. So 92 and a half miles that they traveled. Amen. So we see here that Jesus, even as a child, he was putting a higher priority in his father's business, right? Over his mom and dad's business. Now that doesn't mean that he didn't obey them and he didn't respect them, because we see there in later on in scriptures that he obeyed them in everything. He was subject to them. But he had something to do there in Jerusalem. That he needed to stay back and listen and be there to what?
Amen.
To be about his father's business.
Right.
Amen. Now his father wasn't Joseph.
Right.
His father was God.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Glory.
And so we need to understand, saints, what is the father's business? Amen.
Right.
Because whatever the father's business is, that must mean that that's his will.
Right?
Right?
Amen.
Whatever the father's business is, that must mean that that's his will. And what is his will? Is his word.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So when you are involved in the father's business, that means you must be involved in something having to do with the word.
Amen.
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 And that's all Jesus cared about. Even at 12 years old, all about fulfilling the father's business.
Right.
But you say, well, I'm not, when I get to be 16 years old, I'll be about my father's business. No. Oh, well, Jesus did that at 12 years old because he was God. You've been trained properly.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
You know better.
Right.
And like I said before, I know I've been around young people, and I know young people who have said the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'll serve God later. And 2 years later, they were in a jail cell.
Yeah, right.
I know that's for a fact. They were in a jail cell, and in the jail cell, they said, okay, you were right the whole time, or my parents were right the whole time. And it was too late then.
Yep. Yeah.
You see? Don't wait to that,
right.
young people.
Right.
Don't wait till you commit some atrocity in your life or something happens to you for you to go serve God.
Yeah, right.
Amen. You need to serve God now while he can still be found.
Yeah,
well, he can still yet be found. You're alive and you're breathing and you're here because of God's mercy and grace on you.
Amen.
It's because you have something to fulfill.
Yep.
You have something to do. So Jesus at 12 years old, he was in the Father's business. Amen. So at 12 years old, amen, I believe a kid can be in the Father's business as well. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Obviously, we can't push them. Amen. But we can train them in the way they should go, right?
Exactly.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And create and allow those atmospheres for them to be in those atmospheres that will help them to be in the Father's business.
Right.
Amen. So in order for you to be able to partake in the Father's business, or to be able to tell others about the Father's business, Let's say, for example, you were trying to sell a product, you know, and you're trying to sell it to the people, and you're trying to tell them how great this product is, and oh, it's wonderful, try it, but you have never tried it yourself.
Amen.
How in the world are you going to be, how are you going to let them realize that this product is wonderful. If you have never tried the product yourself, amen. You need to test him for yourself, amen. You as a parent need to test God for yourself, amen. Before you can say, well, you know, I've preached in different churches and you see reactions and you say something and you're going in a certain line and all of a sudden you see a mom or a father, all of a sudden they'll look over at their child. And the child, and you know that they led them to that place, whatever it is. It was their fault that they're in that position, the parents' fault. It wasn't their fault. But they're over there looking at them. It happened to me this past Sunday. And you're like, my goodness. And you know that's what Brother Branham said, is parent delinquency. Parent delinquency. It's what us parents lack to do. We're not involved with the word like we should, but we expect our children to. See, how can you tell them about the product when you haven't even tried the product yourself? How can you tell them that you must be about the Father's business when you're not even in the Father's business at all? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, again, we know that the Father's business is His will. Amen. And His will is His word. Amen. Now, Jesus said to His disciples in John chapter 20, in verse 21, He says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Amen. And I want to stay with this thought, you know, about the Father's business, but I want to switch gears here just a moment. I just wanted to encourage the parents there for just a moment. Just taking that story, but I want to stay within the same story, but I want to address something. Amen. Because, saints, we're living in an hour that it's a sly, the spirit that is creeping in. Amen. It's very sly. Amen. In this hour. You know, we live in the age of the Pell horse rider, right? And he's mixed. And you don't know what's what and what's what, you know. It's hard to decipher. You see? It's a very difficult thing in this hour. And that's the reason why people are going astray. You know, if you knew some of the things that I've realized and that I've come to find out, if people are just dying spiritually like flies. Right. And people that you don't think that would go certain directions. And yet they're in that. And so I was talking to a brother up in Canada, and he was telling me how, you know, he was an African brother, and he lived in Hong Kong for a while. And he was telling me how there's I thought that there was only just one church over there, which was Brother Royal's church. But apparently he said that there was two other churches there. But they were churches. They were churches that they were Tate churches, and so wherever I go, you know, there seems like you know, churches that seem to be established now go into a certain direction. They don't go to church anymore. And so it's a very sly spirit in this hour, saints. That is not only is saying, saints, it's attacking the message in the name of the message. It's exactly what it's doing. And, you know, and the saints, I'm not here to attack individuals, and that's not my purpose. And I'm not here to no name calling or anything like that, but I'm here to attack spirits and expose spirits. Amen. And, because saints, this is right now, it seems to me that this is probably one of the most prevalent spirit that's going on right now. You know, doctrines that have come and gone from the 70s and the 80s, and Brother Dale, you've experienced some of these things. They've come and gone. You don't hear much about, you know, thunders and the thunder movement and all these different things. Now it's about just Staying with the tapes. Staying with the tapes. And I hope I'm not overstepping my boundaries, but I want to make a point.
Amen.
Amen. That I believe in staying with the tapes. I believe in listening to the tapes. Amen. Because that's the message. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And one of the things that they seem to use is a quote in the Church Age book. I believe it's in the Sardisian Age, where Brother Bram talks about that that at the last day, the messenger came in the last day to restore back everything that the fivefold ministry had gone astray in. And that restoration, you know, that meant that needed for us to stay just exclusively with the tapes. But saints, if it was a complete restoration back to the Word, and if it was a complete restoration back to what Paul preached, Paul believed in preaching. So he believed in preaching, and so that's the reason why, if it was a restoration back to the Word of God, amen. It wasn't a restoration to do something that's outside of the Word of God, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it's a sly spirit in this hour. And you know the Bible says, saints, that in this day they would kill you, thinking that they're doing God a service.
Right. Amen.
That's not the Catholic Church in this hour.
Right.
That's not a Baptist, and that's not a Pentecostal. No. I believe it's within the same ranks.
Right. Amen.
And you don't believe me, you go to YouTube, you go to some of these websites, and they just attacking churches that have a fivefold ministry. Like it's gone out of style.
Yep.
Like it's going out of style. It's incredible to me. But we see that all it is, saints, here we are, here we see people leaving the message, right?
Yep.
Saying that the Brother Branham was not a prophet, and that he's false and all these things.
Yeah.
Attacking the message.
Yeah.
But then here's another group that staying with the message, but yet attacking it at the same time.
Right, right,
because that's not what Brother Branham preached.
Yeah, that's right.
Completely misconstruing quotes.
Amen.
To fit their own agendas.
Amen. Right, right, right.
My.
Yes,
so to me, it takes away from the scriptures.
Yeah.
You have to get away from the scriptures in order for you to believe a certain thing like that.
That's right.
You have to. You have to deny certain scriptures. One of the scriptures I'm going to say right now is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1.
Amen.
If they want to bring that up. This is Paul speaking to Timothy.
Right.
Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses,
amen,
the same commit thou to faithful men,
amen,
who shall be able to teach others also.
Amen.
So Paul was saying, in other words, Paul was saying, whatever I'm preaching, Timothy, I want you to go commit these things to faithful men, to faithful witnesses, to preach these same things that I was preaching. And obviously they didn't have any tapes back then. So they couldn't play what Paul was saying. It was for them to go out and preach the word and teach the word, right? Who shall be able to teach others also? Thou therefore endure hardness as good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So saints, one that's really warring for the Lord. In other words, he's in the Father's business. Doesn't entangle himself with things like this. Amen. Doesn't entangle himself with the things of this world. You know, I respect you more if you say, I don't believe this message anymore, and you just go out and don't serve the Lord anymore. But when you come and you come against this message and that 24/7, that's all you do online. I guess you have nothing else to do. You must live a pretty boring life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's what some of these people do. But saints, that is the spirit of this hour that's attacking the message. Amen. That's attacking the word of God. Coming from this side, people leaving the word and saying, oh, because of preachers such and such, my mom was beat up and I got beat up and this and that and the other. But then here's on this side, because of preachers such and such, we have to stay home and just listen to tapes. It's the same spirit. It's the same spirit. Just working in different angles. One of them just has more of a smile. The other one just has more of a gritting of the teeth. Look what Brother Branham says here in the message, we would see Jesus. They would bring that up. That we, you know, saints, that, like I said, we don't fight these doctrines anymore and these things that, you know, but this is the thing right now that's this prevalent in this hour. And saints, it sounds so good. It sounds so enticing. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, I could just stay at home and just not go to church. I could just hit play. Yeah. That's what leads to it. It leads to laziness. Now let's see what he did. Let's follow his ministry just a few moments. We find him the first thing after John had baptized him, the Holy Spirit coming from heaven and descending upon him and remaining in him. John said, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remain, he is the one that will baptize with the Holy Ghost. And now notice, we find immediately after his temptation, he went straight to the Father's business. What was the business? Preaching the gospel and healing the sick.
Amen.
If any day, any age.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. Now that's just one of some of the ones that I got here. Amen. If they go question and answers on Hebrews, next one. I appreciate them. I gave them these things and I didn't give them in the outline that we usually give them. So Brother Joe, I appreciate. He always has my back. All of our back. Father, it is noted that when you were 12 years old, you were found in the temple with the scribes and the sages, discussing with them the scriptures. And they were astonished that a man of old and well-trained in the scriptures, and yet see a little boy of about 12 years old could just confounding in the explaining of the scriptures.
Right.
You was about your father's business.
Right. Right.
So again, he's referring to the explaining of the scriptures.
Right, right.
Amen. Amen? Because saints, as I said before, I've traveled different parts of the world and people have the same message that you do. But they don't understand it the same way that maybe God has revealed it to you. Why? Because they don't have somebody there to explain it to them, to teach it to them. And maybe the pastor or the minister has gotten up to a certain revelation, and that's as far as they can go. And maybe God sent you or God sent Brother Wade to go to the Philippines, amen, to bring certain things out that helped. Amen. That's what a minister does. It's to take the scale out of our eyes. Amen. So that we can see the scriptures better. But taking the word of God that Brother Branham preached. Amen. Taking the message. Amen. To them. And just opening that up a bit more to them. But you can't give them the revelation. I can't reveal nothing to you. Neither can Brother Dale. Nobody can reveal anything to you. It has to take God to reveal it to you. Amen. Through the explaining of the scriptures. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So we see here, saints, that you turn that off for just a moment. Now we know that when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, and we know that he was the messenger, right? Angel came to Mary and to give her the message, the word for that day, right?
Amen.
What she needed to hear. Amen. And Neither the angel, messenger, nor the message he gave her could do nothing for her unless she believed it. She had to receive it, amen,
exactly.
And believe it, even though she couldn't explain it. Now, remember, she said to him, how can this be, seeing that I know not a man? She did question it, and she had all the right to, because that had never happened before. It wasn't anywhere in the scripture. It was only in the Old Testament as a prophecy. But the scribes and the Pharisees and all of them, they couldn't explain it. And so she questioned and said, how can this be? I've not been a man. And so the angel proceeds to explain to her that the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. Amen. And that holy thing that is to be birthed in you, amen, is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see there that messenger came and gave her, amen, the message. Amen. She had to have faith in it and accept it the way it was brought. Right? Amen. And I totally agree that we need to accept and receive the way the message was brought to us. Yeah, amen. I believe it with all my heart. Amen. Sure. But the message doesn't go override the Bible. Amen. It goes along with the Bible. You can't say I believe the message and then it's in some way or another it's overriding the Bible. No. It can't. And that's what's happening in this hour. The people preaching these things, or preaching, saying these things, or admonishing the people of these things, is what they're saying. You've got to override the Bible in order to believe that way. Because that is not what Brother Branham taught. It's not what Brother Branham taught. That, you know, the tapes only and that's it, and that the fivefold ministry there's no use for the fivefold ministry, then you just, like Brother Dale, I said before, let's just take that page out of the Bible. Let's just take that out of the Bible because it doesn't need to be there. There's no use for the fivefold ministry anymore. Let's close up and let's just go home. Why? But you can, you know, there's lemonade at your house and you can sit back and listen to a tape. You don't need to be here. Amen. But now, saints, when the seed was placed in Mary by God, which is the Holy Ghost, the scripture. I'm trying to go slow so that we can get what I'm saying. We know that Brother Brown spoke about Mary being the carrier of that seed. Amen. She carried that son in her. Amen. And in this hour, saints, amen, there's a bride that is to give birth to the son. Amen. This bride is carrying the son. Amen. That has been, that God has placed in her. Amen. By the Holy Ghost. And it has to come through the Word of God. Amen. Again, I cannot give you a revelation. Brother Dale, Brother Wade, Brother Bob, Brother Aaron, nobody can give you a revelation. No man. It has to be God Himself to give the revelation. And not even Brother Branham can give you a revelation through the tapes. That's the reason why the people out there, amen, they listen to the message, but some things they cannot explain. But there here comes a brother that God has given him some light into the word, taking the message, amen. And they can shed some light to the people.
Amen.
And yet, we don't want that to go out to the people that really need it.
Right.
No, just you don't need that. Just stay home and listen to the tapes. Ah. So that son, saints, it was being formed in her.
Right.
Just as the son is being formed in this bride today. Amen.
Right.
Now, I want you to look at this, amen, because she was pregnant with the word, right?
Right.
She's pregnant with the word.
Absolutely.
Now, Joseph, the Bible says that Joseph was going to tell her, I don't want to live with you.
Right.
I don't want to marry you.
Right.
Right? But if it wasn't for a dream that God gave him, amen, he was gonna privately let her go. Amen. It's not to make an example of her. Amen. Into the public. So Joseph, he continued and stayed with her, married her and everything, right? Now, Joseph, amen, obviously, and you just think about this. Obviously, Mary had to tell Joseph what the angel had told her, right?
Sure, exactly.
And so, just as much as Mary had to believe that, Joseph had to believe that as well. Especially if it was part of the word. Amen. If it was part of the word, my, yeah. Because Joseph knows I didn't have anything to do with it. You see? So he had to also believe it supernaturally as well. That it was a supernatural event that had taken place in his wife's body. Amen. And so here they go, and it's almost time. They go to get taxed. And so Joseph had to nurture her. Had to help her. Had to minister to her.
There you go. Amen. Come on, brother.
Just as much as I had to do it when my wife was pregnant.
Yeah.
That's right. I don't think he just left her, you know, and didn't you just fend for your own. No. Because the Bible says that when they were traveling to go get taxed, she was on top of a beast that represents the Holy Ghost. Joseph pulling her. Joseph was not the one doing the work. She was riding on top of that beast. Amen. But it was the beast that had the power to carry her, amen, where she needed to go. All Joseph was doing was just kind of leading her to where she needed to go, right?
Amen.
Pregnant with this word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we know that Brother Branham spoke about the same thing, it's almost the same thing, when he spoke about Rebecca. When Eliezer came to her, and he said, listen, you want to go meet Isaac? And she said, yes, I do. So she got on top of the camel, and Brother Branham mentions this and says that represented the Holy Spirit, that power, amen. Eliezer, all he was there was just guiding the bride that was on top of the camel, guiding it to take her to Isaac. Amen.
Amen.
But he was not doing the work. It was the camel, the beast that was actually doing the heavy work. Amen. And it's the Holy Ghost in you in this hour that's doing the heavy work. Amen. But there needs to be a minister in the midst. Not just one minister.
Right.
It's a fivefold ministry.
Amen.
Amen. So there's Mary. She needed to be ministered to. She needed to be encouraged, because sometimes I'm sure as you saw, some of you sisters who have had children have gotten to a point like, I don't know if I could have this baby or not.
Yeah.
Oh God, help me. Oh, help me. And Joseph had to be right there. Listen, sweetheart.
Right.
Listen, honey. You can do it. Amen. Remember what the angel said. The word of God says this, and you are the one to fulfill this. You are the one to come to this position.
Amen.
To give birth to this son.
Right.
Isn't that what the fivefold ministry is doing in this hour?
Amen.
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 We're not adding anything to the word or anything to the message. We're just complimenting to make you bring the message to you to remembrance.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
Praise God. So if we were doing this, amen, why are we being attacked?
Yeah.
Just because some ministers, some preachers went astray and took five wives and did this and did that, that doesn't mean that all the ministers are like that.
No,
so there's some bad apples.
That's right.
Yeah. But they're still good apples.
Yeah.
Amen. That doesn't mean that the whole batch, you just need to throw away the whole batch.
Right.
Amen. Because that means you just have to throw away the Word of God. You know, there's things in the Word of God that talk about the ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 48. Amen. We already read this. Or just go back. Brother Joe, well, this is the beginning, the scripture at the beginning. I'll just read it and he'll pull it up. And he says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. This is going back to the story of when Jesus was being sought after their mom and dad. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Now here is Mary saying that Joseph was Jesus' father. Now think about this. Mary, it went through what she did. The angel spoke to her. Joseph knowing what the angel said. But here's Mary saying or proclaiming that Joseph was her father. And so Jesus says, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Amen. And so that's how the Mary of today, which is the bride of Christ, saints, who is supposed to know that the father of Jesus Christ is Jehovah God,
amen,
the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that her father is Jesus Christ, a husband. Amen. They are now looking for another father. They know who the father is. Now they're looking for somebody else to lead them along. Knowing who the father really is. Amen. Instead of staying with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Through the message that God already gave us through the prophet. Amen. They're looking at somebody else. They're looking at a Joseph to be in the father. Think about that, saints. I'll let you chew on that for a little while. As Mary knew who the real father was. You see? And now she's proclaiming here that Joseph is the father. Now look what Brother Branham says here in the message Shalom, 1964. This is after the seals. The brothers will bring it up. Notice how Mary is so wrong, but his word is so perfect.
Amen.
She said to him, when she found him in the temple at 12, discussing with the theologians, he astounded them as a 12-year-old boy, not even in school. Or if it is, we have no record of it, but a 12-year-old lad confounding the sages in the temple at his wisdom. She said, thy father and I have sought thee with tears. Thy father? The mother herself supposedly said, thy father, Joseph, and I have sought thee with tears. What did he say to her? Know ye not that I must be about my father's business? If he had been about Joseph's business, he'd have been making houses or in a carpenter shop.
Yep.
But he wasn't Joseph's son.
Amen.
I'm about my father's business, correcting these denominations and creeds and things I hear of.
Yep.
And let me tell you, saints, that these things that are going on today is just as much denomination.
Amen.
As any other denomination.
Yep. Yep.
If you say, just do this, and that's it,
yep,
that's a denomination.
Amen.
To me. See, I'm about my father's business. He never admitted Joseph was his father. But Mary did, and he turned back around and straightened her out. She said, your father and I have sought you. He said, I'm about my father's business, showing Joseph wasn't his father.
Amen.
His words are perfect, see? But Mary and them, listen to this, but Mary and them, just presuming that.
Yep.
Well, see what it was? She got carried away. I believe that's what's happening in this hour. People are getting carried away with the spirit of the hour.
Yeah, right.
And if you're not careful, saints, you'll be right there with that.
Right.
Oh yeah, you're right. We don't need Ephesians chapter 5. Why is that in the Bible? And then Mary was the whole time believing and walking and believing the right thing. All of a sudden, things changed. Well, see what it was? She got carried away. She wanted to show before these priests and things that she wasn't the type of woman. In other words, that she didn't begot Jesus, you know, in a out of wedlock. And she, in doing that, she absolutely tore the foundation out from under her testimony. After she had testified that an angel had come to her and said, "Thou shalt conceive and bear a son, knowing no man, a virgin born son." And here before the high Sanhedrin, she says, "Joseph, your father here and I have sought you." And that 12-year-old boy said, "I'm about my father's business." He rebuked her. "That isn't my father."
Right.
Keep going. See, the church today carried away with counsels and things of the world. Now she's blacked out and God is rebuking her.
Amen.
Now, I believe God, I believe in every denomination and in every movement, God has children of God.
Amen. Sure.
I'm not saying that people who believe this way are lost or nothing like that.
Right.
Amen. They may be going through a phase. Amen. But it's interesting, amen, that they are believing and saying these things in the name of the message.
Oh, yeah, right.
Completely distorting what the messenger said.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Amen. And saying that, I guess the call that Brother Dale received in his life, that Brother Wade received, I guess it's fake then. The ministers that are preaching this word, the pastors that are preaching the word around the world, I guess that's not a real call. And that we should only just listen to one man and look up north. But you know what, saints? I'm totally against that. Because that's not Bible based whatsoever. And that's not what Brother Branham preached. Now there's even splits among them. There's even splits among them. Well, should we play the tape that they're playing up there? Or should we listen to our own thing? You know, all these things now.
Yeah.
Stay with the Word of God.
Amen.
Stay with the message. Amen. Amen. Come back to the message.
Right.
Come back to the Word. Amen. The pure Word. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. In the message, God's word calls for a total separation from unbelief. They want to pull that up. Brother Branham says here, "As I said last night of Jesus, when he was only 12 years old, and being a mistake of his mother, who is claimed by people to be the mother of God, and how that the woman said, 'Why, thy father, I have sought thee with tears.' And quickly, he being the word, said, 'Knowest thou not that I must be about my father's business?'" See, she was declaring him to be Joseph's son, but he wasn't Joseph's son. If he'd been Joseph's son, he'd been with him. But he was but he was with the father about his business. So the word is always corrective and always right. It says the word. He said the word is always corrective and always right. I don't care who it is. It's always, the word is always right. Amen. And the word will correct every wrong always.
Amen. Right. Yes, sir,
I believe that's
yes.
Wrong.
Amen.
I don't believe that to be correct. It's a spirit.
Yep. Right.
It's a spirit that again, it's taking the people away from the foundational things.
Amen.
Of the word of God.
Right,
and Paul was completely for ministers.
Amen. Yes.
Preaching.
Yes.
But that gospel is taking that away from the people.
Oh yeah.
It's taking it away from the people.
No.
I agree that there's bad apples in the batch.
Yeah, sure.
I totally do. But there's good apples.
Amen.
Too.
Right.
Amen. That we need to listen to.
Amen.
That we should listen to.
Right. Right.
Amen. Now we know in Revelation chapter 10, I want you to look at this. We're almost finished. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. Let me start at verse 7. No, actually verse 8. Start at verse 8, but we'll read verse 7 here in just a moment. I want you to notice something here. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. I want you to pay attention to that, because that angel is the angel that was in verse 1. In verse 1, if you read the verse 1, it says, I saw another mighty angel come down, amen, with the open book, amen.
Right.
And we know that that was Christ.
Amen.
The message declares that that was Christ.
Amen.
Brother Branham said that that was Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
That wasn't
Brother Branham.
No. Right.
That was Christ.
Amen.
Now we know that later on in verse 7, as we read there, we're very familiar with this scripture. In verse 7, we know what it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, right? But now let's read here in verse 9, Revelation 10:9. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. You take it and eat it up. He said unto me, who is that he? It wasn't Revelation 10:7. That wasn't that he. It was that mighty angel still speaking to John. And we know that John, Brother Branham said, John represents the bride.
Amen.
Speaking to John. In verse 9. Go back down to verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book.
Amen.
It's almost like, you know, he told him to take the book, but then John interpreted it as, oh, I got to go ask for the book. It's almost kind of like what we do.
Yeah.
He tells us to take the book, do what you need to do with the word, take the word, take all the word in, but we just kind of beg for the word.
Yeah.
That's what John did. Give me the little book. And he said unto me, that same voice, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey.
Amen.
And I took the little book out of the angel's hand.
That's
who ain't, what angel is that? The mighty angel.
David.
And ate it up.
Amen.
It was the book that was open in his hand. It wasn't open in the angel's hand of Revelation 10:7. Because he couldn't have opened it. It had to be that the mighty angel had already opened it and given it to the angel of Revelation 10:7, right? And ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Now, watch verse 11. Now, it's so interesting that this is verse 11. The 11th hour workers.
Amen.
And he said unto me, he said unto me, he, the mighty angel,
amen,
said unto me, John, who represents the bride,
amen,
thou must prophesy again before many peoples. Why didn't he not say, and he said unto me, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, shall prophesy again? But it doesn't say that, does it? Says, and he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples,
yep,
and nations and tongues and kings.
Right.
So there is a work that you and I need to do in this hour,
right,
saints.
Right.
That to me, that's the bride of Christ.
Amen.
But that's after they've taken the book and eaten the book.
That's
not going out and do anything on your own. It's not your own thing. It's doing what the book,
amen,
says to do. Praise God. Amen. And so, saints, that is the Father's business in this hour. That is the Father's business, as it was in the Father's business in the day of Jesus when he was 12 years old there at the temple telling Mary and Joseph to do what they were doing. I must be about my Father's business. Then you and I must be about the Father's business in this hour. Must be about the Father's business.
Right. Amen. Right.
To me, that's a business to do.
Right.
Go prophesy
uh-huh.
to kings and nations. Amen.
Right.
Now I want you to look at what that word prophesy means. Brother Joe, if you could bring that meaning up. It's the word in Greek, it's day. It says it is necessary, there is need of, it behooves, is right and proper. Necessity lying in the nature of the case.
Yeah.
Necessity in reference to what is required to attain in some end.
Right.
It's a necessity. You must.
Right.
A necessity of law and command of duty, equity. Necessity established by the counsel and decree of God, especially by that purpose of His which relates to the salvation of man by the intervention of Christ, and which is disclosed in the Old Testament prophecies. Now we know that in the Old Testament there's prophecies in Daniel, if you read in Daniel, about the saints that taken the, and you can read that, I believe it's in Daniel 11. So the prophecies are there. Amen. Now somebody's got to go and fulfill Revelations 10:11. Somebody's got to do it, because otherwise then that's just there just for fluff. And that doesn't make sense.
Amen.
And it didn't say that angel that spoke to John was the angel of Revelations 10:7.
Nope.
And neither did what that angel said was what was that the angel of Revelations 10:7 was to do was to happen again.
Right.
He did his part.
Sure.
Revelation 10:7 did his part.
Amen.
Now the bride's got to go do her part. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You and I have a part to fulfill in this hour. Amen. Praise God. And the Bible clearly says, amen, through the ministry of apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, amen. For what? For the perfection of the saints. Amen. Until we all come to the unity of Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, I'll finish with this. Brother Branham said this in the message, "The seed is not air with it shook." And this is where I got inspired to preach this.
Amen.
You love the Lord?
Amen.
I'm not mad at anybody.
Right.
I'm just mad at Satan.
That's right. Amen.
Right. Amen. I love the people.
Amen.
And whatever I can do to help them, I want to help them.
That's
you
right.
know?
Right.
But the word always rebukes the error.
Amen.
The word always rebukes. Where there is error, it has to be rebuked.
Yes, amen.
It has to be exposed.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Notice there will be no more carrier, mother, right. churches, denominations after this carrier shuck.
Right.
There's nothing after this.
Right.
Amen. Because after the shuck, there is no more nothing left by then, but just the grain. Is that right? It's got to be the grain. I want you to pay attention to the saints. Don't fall asleep on them. We're almost done. It's got to be the same kind that went into the ground. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. A spirit come upon the bride to do the same things that He did. The grain, the original grain, that grain's reproducing.
Amen.
See, it's the reproducing again of the grain.
Right. Amen.
The word yet young, let's scroll it up. The word yet young spake for itself, and know not that I must be about my Father's business. Huh, he says. There is the secret of the message now. Just exactly, the Father's business.
Right.
What is the Father's business?
Right.
Could you think of what the Father's business was in Him? To fulfill what Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. Scroll it up. Fulfill what Isaiah said again. Fulfill what Isaiah said again. The lame shall leap like a hart. And all these things would take place. Like Moses said, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet among you like unto me. It was the Father's business to fulfill that word.
Amen.
Well, if that come down through them stalks of them natural women, what about these stalks of these spiritual church women? Churches means women. Women means churches, rather. Is that right? Then what is it now? We must be about the Father's business. The wheat would cry back the grain. Yes, sir. What must it do? Vindicate Malachi 4. Vindicate Luke 17:30. Vindicate Hebrews 13:8. Vindicate St. John 14:12. Vindicate all of His Word. All of His Word. Vindicate Revelation, the 10th chapter of the opening of the seven seals, and the mysteries of God, even to serpent seed and all, would be manifested. Marriage and divorce and all these other mysteries that's been hid under the pillars for all these years from the theologians and so forth. But it's now the hour. That's the Father's business. Now is the hour. And saints, to vindicate. Because saints, we are vindicating what Brother Branham preached. I mean, we are the manifestation of what Brother Branham preached. We are the manifestation of what God wrote in the Word about us in Revelation 10:11. Revelation 10:11 is right here. Amongst His bride. We are the vindication of that Word. So Brother Branham is saying, vindicating all these things. Oh, well, Brother Branham did that. You know, Malachi 4 and all these things. I believe that. But what about the rest of the Word?
Right.
Amen. What about Revelations 10:11? Who's going to vindicate that?
Amen.
It can't be Brother Branham coming back.
Nope.
Thou must prophesy again.
Right.
Just as Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business.
Amen.
You must be about the Father's business.
Amen.
Think they would receive it? They want to be dignified and say that our denomination don't teach us that. But the Bible does.
Amen.
That's right. God vindicates it to be true. Sure, it is fulfilling this age when the seven seals are just proving the denominations has just been carriers.
Right. Yep.
That's another one of the Father's business to prove. And the Father's business now is to show you that them denominations is not His.
Amen.
There are man-made systems that deny the Word.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Again, you have to, in order to accept something like that, you have to deny the Word.
That's right.
To accept something like that, you have to deny the Word.
Amen.
You have to go over the Word and take out certain scriptures of the Bible.
Amen.
To say that we don't need preachers anymore. You know, and in one place, Brother Branham says, no mechanical devices is gonna can take you.
Nope.
Amen.
Nothing
like that.
Right.
Saints, it has to be the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit in this bride that's moving this bride in this hour. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And so much is going on. And I just wanted to just put that out there, saints, for you to just to be careful in this hour.
Amen. Yeah.
Because wherever I go, I've been to several countries and you hear the exact same thing. Well, brother such and such, they were a powerful ministry. They had ministers and everything like that, and now they just sit around and play tapes.
Yeah.
And you don't hear from them. Like you're not invited by them to go minister to them.
No.
But at one point they were for the ministering of the Word, and then all of a sudden that changed. I don't, you know. Again, you have to leave the Word of God in order for
Amen.
You to go that way.
Amen.
I'm sorry.
Right. Amen.
But so saints, we must be about our Father's business in this hour. That is the Father's business in this hour.
Amen.
It's for us, the bride of Christ, to fulfill the Word of God in this hour. Amen.
Right.
Again, Brother Branham did his part.
Yep. Right.
You and I are here that we must do our part, saints.
Right.
There's a part that you and I must fulfill.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Find the part that you need to fulfill.
Yep.
Amen. Stay in the Word.
Amen.
Stay in the message. Because the message and the Word are the same thing. Amen.
Glory.
It's nothing different, nothing separate.
No, right.
It's the exact same thing.
Amen.
Every time I put on a tape and listen to Brother Branham, I always get it draws me closer to Jesus Christ.
Right.
And it should not draw you to some other man.
Nope. Right.
It should not even draw you to Brother Branham himself.
Nope. Right.
It should draw you to Jesus Christ. And I wholly believe that that's what Brother Branham's intentions were. Brother Branham's... Look, the first time I even heard the message, it was in Colombia, South America. I opened the book, the message, Jesus Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. And I was reading it in Spanish. It wasn't in English. I knew how to speak English, but I mean, I was reading it in Spanish. And just reading that message, I was saying something's different about this man speaking here. And every single thing that I was going to was drawing me, that I was reading, it was drawing me as was closer to Jesus Christ. Not at one point, now I was still in the Baptist church at the time. Not at one point was I thinking, I need to go worship this man. Or I need to, you know. No. The whole time, I was being led to Jesus Christ. So what is the spirit in this hour that puts Brother Branham up here in this way and the fivefold ministry down here? What is that spirit? But then there's the other spirit I mentioned before that puts the fivefold ministry up here and Brother Branham down here. And I think that's wrong too. There has to be a balance, saints. God is a God of balance. God is a God of balance. So it's not one over the other, amen.
Right.
It's the word of God and the message, amen. And you are here to vindicate this word in this hour, amen. How many love the Lord tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Let's sing this song, We Were Made More Than Conquerors, amen, as the musicians come. What page is that? We were made more than conquerors. Where's that? 330. Thank you, Sister Esther. God, what key would sing that in? Let's sing that in the key of C, I guess. Can you? We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now troubles may come knocking at your door. Don't be afraid, you know it's not like before. Don't you give in, don't let it bring you down, 'cause you don't have to worry anymore. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We the bride victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now hold on, we're getting stronger every day. There's no reason for you to go astray. Don't you lean to your own understanding. Just lean on Him and then we will all save. We've been made more than conquerors, overcome. bummers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Sing that chorus one more time. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. What, saints, you and I, we can't forgive our own sins. You can't save your own self. Amen. But it's all been done through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been taken care of. You have nothing to worry about. Amen. And you just go to Him and you confess your faults. Amen. Confess your sins. And amen. And I've already done everything I could for you. Just take my word and believe it. That's what He wants you to do. Amen. Amen. So, saints, I apologize if you took it in the wrong way or in an offensive way. That wasn't my intention. But, you know, saints, you hear things like this and it just rises something in you. That is almost as a warning to you all that, you know, be careful. Stay with the word. Stay with the message. Stay with what's already been preached. Amen. And you can't go wrong that way. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the word of God, amen, is clear on what it says about them. And if you go that other direction, if you go that way, you know, you have to override the word of God. There's just no way around. Well, I don't like hearing that, but that's the truth. It's the truth in this hour. We don't fight flesh and blood, the Bible says. The spirits and powers in the air, amen, that are causing, amen, all these confusion. And if it was of God, it wouldn't be confusing. There's no confusion in God. The message is perfect, so there's no confusion there. Amen. Praise God. But why are we, you know, these things bring confusion in this hour, saints. Amen. You love the Lord? Amen. So let's just bow our heads and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We appreciate You, Lord God, for just showing us, Father God, some things, Father God. And just help us, Lord, to stay, Father God, with what You've said, Heavenly Father. And Lord Jesus, not to add or even take away from the Word, Lord God Almighty. Because, Father God, the Word, the bride, Father God, is predestinated to manifest, Father God, all of the Word, Lord. And that's our business in this hour, Lord. It's to manifest and to do the Father's business. We must do the Father's business, Father God. And that's what we would desire to do in our hearts. Father God, we just commit ourselves unto You now this evening as we're heading home. Watch over us, protect us, Lord. Bring us back, Father God, safely Sunday and to receive, Father God, what You have in store through Your Word, Lord. And Lord Jesus, bless the ones that will be preparing for this Saturday, Lord, for the spring festival there, Lord. Just let everything go fine, Father God, and we just enjoy one another's fellowship, Lord, and just have fun, Father God. And just, Lord, we just commit that into Your hands. We love You, and we commit these things into Your hands, Father. You forgive me, Lord, if I've said anything, Father God, that I should not have said. But Lord God Almighty, I'm in Your hands, Lord. I felt led to say what I said, Lord, and so I just pray, Lord, that You would just help the people to just maybe You reveal the rest to them, Lord God Almighty. Because I can't do that, Lord. It takes You to do that. I just commit these things into You now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints.
Oh, to Jesus,